Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. Today's topic is titled, Three Sets of Three. An employee engagement mini course. And Perry's looking at me right now and he's laughing because he loves to have these titles that and for some reason he used to introduce the title. Now all of a sudden I am, but I have a feeling that I know why. But I love this idea and I love this lesson, the three sets of three, an employee engagement mini course.
Well, of course, there's much more than three sets of three, but I was preparing for a keynote I was to give and I was looking through some notes. Just kind of building my thoughts, and I just noticed a little pattern of these key learnings that I use all the time, especially when I'm thinking about driving employee engagement and connecting with my team and climbing those five levels. And they were three different sets of three things each, and I thought I would just ask you, bring them to you and say, you know, as our listeners, I think, would value the truth, and they're all covered. I noticed all these are covered in the five levels of leadership, and they contribute to what I know you teach a lot, which is the common language of leadership that's so necessary in our organizations to really grow.
I am absolutely game for it. Let's do it. The first thing I want to do is just remind those that are listening on our podcast what we consider to be an engaged employee to look like, what we're aiming for as leaders. Before I do that, let me make sure I tell you what it is not. There's often a misinterpretation out there of employee engagement, which is how do we entertain our employees? That is not employee engagement.
I mean, no more beanbags.
You got ping pong. Okay. And I mean, you can have those things if you want. But I just want to make sure that people know, man, when you talk about employee engagement, the first thing that a lot of us think about is how do we entertain our employees? How do we make this fun? And while you can do that, that's not what employee engagement is. And so I just feel like when I speak on this topic, I like to talk about that a lot because I get people that respond the same way you did. You mean, so I don't have to have a ping pong table in the back of the room
Do they even make beanbag chairs?
It's showing your age. Okay. All right. So, but here's a couple of things that engaged employees are. And I want to make sure you kind of align with some of these. Employees will find fulfillment and enthusiasm and passion in their work. They'll show more attention to the details of what they do on a day-to-day basis. They'll develop a sense of ownership, and I love this, and pride in their work. They'll pitch in areas outside of their own responsibility. They stay in the organization. You'll reduce turnover numbers if your employees are engaged. And then the final one that I kind of wrote down here that we feel like employees that are engaged are is they'll actually help attract other quality employees. I mean, think about this. If you've worked at some places before where you would not recommend even your in-laws maybe to come work for there, right? And so they'll help attract. Maybe you would, and then you would leave. Yeah, and then you would leave. So,
yeah. Okay. So the first set of three that I notice that I use all the time really helps me is came from Patrick Lencioni.
Oh yeah.
And his book, it's from a number of years ago, but I've really clung on to this, called The Three Signs of a Miserable Job, and Pat said in his book that the three signs are anonymity, that people, I'm not known by you, that you don't really know me, and I don't feel known in the organization. Irrelevance, that what I do doesn't matter. You wouldn't even notice if I wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
And immeasurement, which he reminds us is not a word. He made it up. But it says that I'm kind of spinning my tires. I'm not making progress. And if these three things are in play, people will I know we gave the example a few podcasts back about the canoe and that you've got some people are rowing, some people are watching, some people are sinking. That immeasurement, irrelevance, anonymity says that I'm probably going to have oar across my lap watching the scenery because I'm really not engaged.
Yeah, and all employees kind of want to know, you know, they want to be able to gauge their progress and their level of contribution. I think about, you know, some roles I've had in the past, different organizations, and when you don't understand that, when you can't connect it, you just kind of check out. And I think these three examples that Patrick Lencioni gives us out of this book, it really speaks to levels two and three in the five levels of leadership. You talk about level two, we talk about, you know, people want to follow you, your influence. They want to be under your influence is really about the ability to build relationships or connect with them. And then in level three, it's really about producing results, and it's the production level. And if someone feels anonymous or irrelevant, then level two has not even been accomplished. Like you have to make sure that they understand they matter to the organization, they matter to the team. And if someone's not clear on how they're measured, whether they are making progress or not, we're going to have a production problem, because if they don't understand at the end of the day what results they're driving for, how they're measured, how that is part of their compensation, or it's part of their review, or it's part of their whatever it might be, they need to understand that. And so that way you guys are on the same page when it comes to level three production.
All right. The second set of three of these three sets of three comes from our friend John Maxwell. And I thought this was so simple that I just waved it off in my early leading. And then as I grew in my leadership, found out that this is really profound. And John says there are three things every follower is asking about you, the leader. And those three things are, can you help me? Do you care about me? And can I trust you?
Yeah, ultimately, these lead to level three, right, of the five levels. There's some level two in here as well. But if the answer to these three questions is not yes, then you have some work to do on employee engagement, because they're not producing at the level that they need to be producing. When we talk about these three questions, you know, I say, you know, the first one you mentioned there is, can you help me? That's a competence question, right? They're looking at you as a leader, and they're saying, do you have credibility? Do you have the competence to be able to help me? The second one you mentioned is, do you care about me? They're asking this about you. That's the compassion question. That's the ability to connect and be compassionate. And that the third one there is, can I trust you? That's a character question. And they are watching you. And we talk about all the time, leadership is a visual sport. Perry and I love using different sports analogy. That is so true. I mean, they are watching you to see if they can trust you in the conversations and in your body language. And so I like to tie those three C words to each one of those questions that John talked about, because it is a level two and a level three conversation in regards to your influence level.
Yeah, and I tell you, I used to blow right by this, and now I teach it everywhere I go. I'll ask a leader, answer these three for me. Do your people know you can help them? And they'll say, well, sure. I go, tell me how.
Yeah.
And then I get this look. Well, tell me how you help them. And that's generally the easier of the three questions, because there are things you could do or do to help. Care is a very interesting thing to me. It's people receive it in different ways. And how you show care is generally the way you receive care, and it's not necessarily the way they receive care. Care is a big one to me. And then trust is obviously a combination of so many things that on how you go to interface with every individual that you work with. The third set of three that I found speaks to motivation, and I've discovered this when I kept getting asked as a keynote speaker, hey, can you come in here and motivate my team? And I would say, why don't you just hire motivated people? And they didn't think that was funny. And then I would, I thought it was funny. But I thought, why, what is this thing about motivation? So you'll find that motivation really goes in two veins. One is external. You're a sales leader. You can give bonuses and awards and cash and incentives, that sort of thing. And then there's internal. So what I've discovered here was from a great book by Dan Pink titled The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us. And Dan Pink talks about three things that really lead to intrinsic, internal motivation, which is what I was most interested in. As a leader, can I help with someone's, number one, autonomy? Everybody has a desire to really self-direct their work effort. It increases engagement over compliance, he says. Number two, after autonomy, was mastery. This was the urge to get better at what I do. And so am I working with my team to develop their mastery and their skills? And number three, after autonomy and mastery, was purpose. We all have internally a desire to do something with that's bigger than us, that has meaning, and importance. And if your business or if you're only focused on money and profits without valuing purpose, then you'll end up with some disengaged employees.
That's good stuff. And as we kind of build this common language, I'll just kind of tie these three things that you just mentioned to the five levels of leadership. You know, autonomy kind of really speaks to this in the level three bucket. You want people to be put in positions to where they can do quality work without you micromanaging them. Chris Fuller often uses the illustration of, you know, we don't wake up every morning and just hope that we get to work and our boss manages us today, right? Like, that just makes our skin curl. Like, none of us want to be able to do that. The mastery part, this really goes into that level four. We don't talk a whole lot about level four around people development, but this is where leaders are developing other leaders. And so at the core of what you're talking about here is that, are you really helping your teammates? Are you really helping the people that are under your leadership, under your influence, develop the skills that they need to succeed? And what does that look like? How are you intentionally thinking about intersecting what you're already doing as a leader or someone with influence inside the organization that might benefit somebody else inside our organization under level four? An example I think about this is that when it comes to developing a new skill or becoming a master at a skill, we have an up-and-coming emerging leader in our organization, and you guys have heard from him recently, Eric Corona, on one of our podcasts, and he has a desire to speak more and to from a millennial standpoint, what is the impact? Where is the value added? What does it look like from my lens? And so part of our plan is Perry and I already do these podcast recordings. We sit down and we talk and have conversations, and we thought, hey, how can we intersect what we're already doing with one of Eric's desires through growth to become a master at that? And that is, hey, let's invite him to be a part of this. And so I just give you that example, not to pat us on the back. I'm just saying, think about an intentional way of things that you're already doing that you can help from a mastery standpoint at level four, from a people development standpoint with those that are on your team. And then finally, you talked about, you know, the purpose, and a lot of people talk about the purpose these days and the ability to connect with the people that are on your team, whether it's through values, through the purpose, aligning that with the business so that they understand the big picture and the purpose behind kind of what they do.
Yeah, this one really affected me because I think most leaders think their teams, based on the requests I get, they think their teams lack motivation and that it's some external force. If they lean on money as a motivator, it does work. It works really well. Unfortunately, you don't have unlimited funds, and so when it runs out, people lay the oar across their lap and don't row. So until the next bucket of money comes out, and then I row. That's not the organization I want to lead. So when I think about autonomy, we had a whole lesson here on the podcast about delegating and giving people the ability to go and do the work. And is there trust there? Do I know you can handle it? And then there's a great opportunity to step in and help you do that until you are self-sufficient in doing that. Mastery to me speaks to that helping. How do I help you get the skills you need? One leader I had invited me to the table, told me to keep my mouth shut, but told me to come to the table and observe a senior meeting so I could be exposed to what's going on in the organization and how I fit into that. And then purpose, I always think about the work we do in five levels on values and just understanding my values, what people see in my behavior, but also their values. And how can I help you apply your value and your structure to the work we're doing so that you feel the purpose in it, that we're not just selling stuff. Yeah. We're selling things that make a difference in people's lives.
And that's right.
Whatever it is you do, it has to affect the buyer in some way or you wouldn't be selling it. So figure out what that bigger purpose in there. So, great stuff. Why don't you wrap it up for us and give us some things to be thinking about.
Yeah, in closing, one of the things I was just thinking about, the three points that Perry just kind of walked us through, a simple way to look at this is 10-80-10. And I've learned this from John because he does this with us, which is, you know, hey, 10% of a new project, a new idea, whatever, we're going to work on it together. You're going to hear from me. This is kind of where I'm at. 80%, man, I want you to kind of run with it. Be autonomous, do what you got to do. I trust you, kind of be self-directed, and then come back to me for that final 10%. And in that 10-80-10, you can literally find areas for levels 2, 3, and 4, the autonomy, the mastery, and the purpose of that. So if you're a numbers person and it sticks in your head a little bit differently, there's a way for you to look at this. Couple of things. I wrote down HBR did this Achiever study, and more than 70% out of this study said that more than 70% of business owners believe that employee engagement has directly driven greater business success. And so I just need to understand that this is important. I love the fact that Perry gave us kind of three sets of three of different ways around engagement. My encouragement to you and to the listeners as we kind of summarize this is be intentional about driving better engagement numbers with your team. You have to be intentional about it. It's not just going to happen. And so the price of having influence and leading people, it comes with you're going to have to think about that to drive to better engagement. If you do, your team's going to be more productive. Your customers will be more satisfied. Company's going to have less turnover. And then one of these studies I was reading actually talked about this, and I haven't thought about it, and I should have. So shame on me, because we do a lot of work with very large organizations from a manufacturing standpoint. It talked about that even if your employees are more engaged, they experience fewer safety violations. Mm. And I thought, man, how much revenue is lost? How many dollars do they spend on safety mistakes and this and that, whether it's internally or externally? And if you had higher engagement, that would even drop down. Sure. I thought that was powerful.
I agree. Well, thank you. Great stuff. I hope this was a meaningful lesson. It is some of the key stuff for me as I've made my journey. So just as a reminder, if you'd like to learn more about the five levels of leadership or perhaps even bring a five levels workshop to your location, please go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can leave a comment for us there. We also love hearing from you. If you have a question or comment about another topic, we'd love to hear from you there. That's all for today. Thanks for joining. This is the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.